Please raise your hand. If you had made a promise to someone that you ended up having to break that promise. Raise your hand if you ever have done that before. Well, I think we all have been there at a certain point in our lives, isn't that right? And the meditation for today, the message for today, comes from a passage from the book of John, the Gospel of John, and we're going to be reading from chapter 11 of the Gospel of John. It's the well-known story of the resurrection of Lazarus. And today, I would like to attempt to bring some new light to this passage. And I also would like to, I hope and I would like to strengthen your faith in the Lord with the message that this passage can bring us all today. So if you can please turn your Bibles to the book of John, the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we're going actually to read, we're going to start reading verses 3 and 4. John chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. And this is what it says. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. In verse 4, chapter 11, verse 4, when he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Have you made a promise to someone that you had to break? Has someone made a promise to you that they have broken that promise? What an interesting passage when Jesus is given a word that the one whom he loved. It's interesting, this word in the Gospel of John, because the Gospel of John has at least four major passages that talks about the beloved disciple. And many people talk about John himself being the youngest and the beloved disciple among all the other apostles. And it's interesting that the word that comes to Jesus is the word, the one whom you love is sick. And it's even more interesting, the word that Jesus sends back when he says, this illness, this sickness, it's not for death. But this is going to be for the honor and the glory of God. And for me, if I receive a word from a great friend like Jesus, if I receive a word from a close friend that has done so many miracles, the one that has helped the lame walk, the blind see, the word that might be going around that many people that were dead were resurrected. If I am a close friend of Jesus and I receive the word, your sickness is not for death, but for the honor and glory of God, I would be assured that I would not die. But you all know the story well that Lazarus ended up dying. And if I were one of the disciples, if I were around Jesus when I hear the word, the sickness is not for death, and when I hear the word that Lazarus has died, I wonder how you would feel about the word that Jesus has proclaimed, that my friend Lazarus will not die. And before we get there, I want you to think about this. I have a friend that lives in Loma Linda. He is, I think, fourth generation Seventh-day Adventist. And not long ago, he had a cancer, a prostate cancer that was spreading all around his body. And the doctors told him, there's nothing else we can do. And this friend of mine, he invited me to his house one day, and he said, Pastor Gilbert, do you believe that the Lord Jesus is coming soon? And I said, yes, I do with all my heart. He asked me, do you still believe in the resurrection of the saints? Do you believe in the day when we all are going to appear before the Lord? And do you believe the passage that says, when the mighty archangel of the Lord blows that trumpet, the dead in Christ will rise again? I said, yes, I do with all my heart. And I asked this friend, why are you asking me this question? And this man, going through the last few months of his life, probably, was doubting the accuracy of the word of God that says he will come again. And he will give eternal life for those that believe in him. Not long ago in Calexico, when I was working there, I was giving Bible studies to one of my students. She was a junior, she was an 11th grader. And she came to me and she said, Pastor Gilbert, I would like to be baptized. And I said, let's do that, that's awesome. But she said, I have a problem. My mom would never let me be baptized in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And to make a long story short, we could not baptize this young lady because her family would not let her. When she becomes a senior in high school, she had another sister that was then a junior that I was now teaching, a junior and a senior from the same family. And for the first time, I met this young boy in seventh grade that was also a part of this family. The sister that was now a junior, like her sister, also would like to be baptized. Because I did as a practice in my class, that every year I would go through all the Seventh-day Adventist beliefs in my class. We would talk about the state of the dead and the Sabbath and the beautiful stories that we share with people when we want to share our faith and bring them into our theology, our church. So after going over with the second sister, she also expressed the desire of being baptized. But she also told me, my mom would never let me be baptized in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. That very same year, her brother, that was now in seventh grade, receiving Bible studies, also from me, also expressed the desire of being baptized. But he also said, for whatever reason, my mom would never let me do that. I didn't know what to do. So I talked to our secretary, Mrs. Lupita. She's an incredible human being. She gives Bible studies like crazy, like all the time. She has groups all over the place. She's a wonderful human being. She brings a lot of people into the church. And I talked to her, and I said, Mrs. Lupita, our secretary, I said, what am I going to do? I have three kids that want to be baptized. And I don't know what to do because they're all saying that the mom would not let them. And to make a long story short, Mrs. Lupita got her Bible, crossed over to Mexicali. Without telling me, she started having Bible studies with the mother. And in about 6 months, one day I received a phone call from this mother and she said, Pastor Gilbert, I want to talk to you. And I said, I would love to. And I was thinking it might be something that has to do with the kids. I'm teaching three of her kids. And sure enough, she crosses the border, comes to see me, and she says, I would love to be baptized by you. And I was, what? You want to be baptized by me? Do you know that I'm being studying with your kids? She said, yes, I do. I'm being studying with Mrs. Lupita, and I also want to be baptized, and I want you to baptize my entire family together inside of the tank. We just need to set up the date. Whatever happened there, it was a miracle, wasn't it? But the story did not end in there. I told this lady, I said, I love your kids so much. I've been teaching them for a long time. I know some of your kids for a long time. And whatever you need me, please let me know, and I would gladly help. And one day she took me on for that promise that I had made. Her mother passed away, and she wanted me to be at the funeral, saying some words, comforting the family with the word of God. And when I got there, without saying a word, she walks toward me and she says, Pastor Gilbert, you're a man of God. I know that you trust and believe the word of God, and I have a request to ask. And I said, what do you want? You won't believe what she asked me. She said, would you please pray that God will resurrect my mother? I didn't do it. I didn't say any words. I was totally numbed. There was a reality check for me there to know that everything I thought of myself as a pastor, at that moment, the reality check caught up with me. Can I do what the Lord Jesus said you can in my name? Can I do what Jesus said, even greater things that I'm doing right now, you will be able to do if you have faith? And I was confronted with that moment in my life where I was just numbed. Mrs. Johnston, she's a teacher at the mission school. She's been teaching for over 30 years. And she was beside me when the request came from the mother. And she gave this mother a hug. And she kind of took over the conversation. And she said, your mom already has been suffering for such a long time. She's of age. She's resting now. Believe the word of God that he says that you will see her again in the day when the Lord comes. And Mrs. Johnston, she saved me from an answer that I couldn't give, especially to a prayer to resurrect her mother. The mother that I had promised once, whatever you need of me, ask, and I will go out of my way to help you. Have you promised something to someone that you were not able to fulfill? Have you had a dream in your life that at one point you had to give up because you knew that you'd never be able to fulfill that dream in your life? I would like to invite you to go back now to John chapter 11. And we're going to be reading through and moving extremely fast because I believe that you already know the story. But the Bible says that a word came to Jesus that Lazarus was ill. And this word came from Martha and Mary. And Jesus, again, as I said, he told whoever it was that came to Jesus saying, the beloved one, your friend, is sick. He told them he will not gonna die. And the Bible says, if you follow along chapter 11 of the book of John, chapter 11, the Gospel of John, you will see that Jesus takes an extra couple days in that town, in Jerusalem. And he was only a couple miles away. And 4 days later, Jesus shows up to the place where his friend was already laid and buried, dead. And you know well the story of Martha coming to Jesus and interacting with Jesus. You know well the story of Mary coming to Jesus. And both of them had similar languages in terms of, similar words in terms of, if you were here, Jesus, my brother would not have died. You also know that Jesus interacts with both of them and asks them, do you believe that I can do this? And it's Martha that says, I believe that you can do it. I believe in the judgment day. I believe in the resurrection of the saints. I believe in that day. And I believe that whatever you ask the Lord, he would do it. You know well the story. And before we develop a little bit more of this story in the Gospel of John, I would like to invite you to come with me to actually the book of Luke chapter 10, the Gospel of Luke chapter 10. Before we continue to the story of Lazarus, I want to talk a little bit more about Martha and Mary. Come with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, and we're going to be reading verses 38 to 42. Luke 10, 38 to 42. And it says, and I'm reading from the NIV, and I think that's the same Bible that we have here for you guys. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him, and she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. Verse 40, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister, Mary, has left me to do the work all by myself? Tell her to help me. In verse 41, Martha, Martha, the Lord Jesus answered, you are so worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and I will not be taking away from her. I would like you to think a little bit about Martha and Mary for a second. Martha, for me, strikes me as the older sister taking care of the house and passing and giving out the orders. Mary, help me do this and do that. Do you have a sibling that is like that, an older sibling that always tells you what to do? I have a younger sister. She always told me what to do. Might be a woman thing, is that right? It was a joke. Come on. Thank you. Yeah, didn't go through that one, isn't it right? So, Martha probably strikes me as that older sister that wants to keep the house clean, that wants to make sure that everybody knows what they're doing. And Mary is a little bit more laid back. She's not too concerned about what's going on there. And at this time, whatever it is that they are doing, Martha is taking care of the house, and Mary, she's at the feet of Jesus. And Martha is concerned, and Mary's enjoying the best, the presence of the Lord Jesus there with her. I don't know what you think about Martha and Mary, but I would like to share this with you. When I read the story in the Gospel of John, I believe that maybe John is probably dealing with the same problem that we see here, that we see the difference between the attitude of Martha and Mary. One is so concerned about other things, and the other one is more concerned to the here and now. Of course, both of them could hear Jesus preach and speak later on, but Mary would not let that pass. She was there at that moment, present with Jesus, and Martha was putting that privilege away for another time and another day. I wonder if John, probably in his gospel, is dealing with the same problem. Resurrection. The kingdom to come. Eternal life. When does it happen? Because we see a lot of Christians that put their emphasis, their life emphasis, in the kingdom to come, the eternal life to come, the resurrection and the judgment to come. And you see all the other gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they will tell you many, many stories about resurrection. Many of them. I have some of them here that I would like to share with you. If you go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 9, the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 18 through 26. The book of Matthew, chapter 9, 18 through 26. Matthew 9, 18 to 26. And this is what it says. While he was saying these things, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, my daughter has just died. But come and put your hand on her and she will live. And Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Verse 20. Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. And she said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. Verse 22, Jesus turned and saw her, and he said, take heart, daughter, Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed at that moment. And when Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed. They laughed at him. And the crowd had been put outside. He went in and took the girl by the hand and shook her up. And news of this spread throughout all the region. There are many other stories of resurrection. There's another story of Jesus resurrecting the son of the widow. Come with me to the book of Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. Look at the story. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, and the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Do not cry." Verse 14. Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." And the dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. And they were all filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared among us, they said. And God has come to help his people. And this news about Jesus spread throughout the Judea and the surrounding country. I want you to understand that all these miracles that have to do with raising the dead, all these miracles that appear in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all show a kind of a miracle that has to do with somebody passing away right at that time. The Gospel of John really wants to show you that whatever it is that people say about the miracles of Jesus, that somebody was in a deep coma or whatever you want to call it, John really wants to show you that Lazarus was dead for 4 days. And this story in the Gospel of John is much different from any other story you can find in the other Gospels. You will see many times when Jesus resurrected the dead in the other Gospels. And Jesus many times is spoken of as a great prophet. If you look in the Gospel of Luke starts by introducing Jesus to this Gentile community as the son of Adam and Eve. Different from Matthew, where he says Jesus is the son of Abraham. Luke goes on to introduce Jesus as a great man, a man of great compassion, a man that heals people, and he cares about all the people that come to him. And later on, very early in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is already compared to John the Baptist. And even Jesus himself, he says about John the Baptist, he is the greatest that has ever been born of a woman. If you continue to read the Gospel of Luke, you see that the next story is going to be Jesus, the story that we just read, resurrecting the son of a widow. And what Luke is doing here, he's reminding you, as he keeps on showing you who Jesus really is, he's reminding you that Jesus did exactly what a prophet of the Old Testament did, as when he resurrected as well the son of a widow. Therefore, a great prophet has come among us. Like Elijah once did, resurrected the son of the widow. All these stories are beautiful stories about the miracles and the power of Jesus. But John here, he wants to show something different. No one has ever heard of a man that's been dead for 4 days being brought back to life. In fact, no one has ever heard all the things that Jesus was doing back then. Giving sight to a man that has never sinned and performing so many other miracles. There are many other stories that we can check about the miracles and that has to do with life and death in the other Gospels. But in here, John is showing you and me, as careful readers of Scriptures, that he wants to show you something else. Even Martha, when she comes, and salutes Jesus and talks to Jesus. She says, I know when the time comes. I know in that day. I know in the future when resurrection takes place. I know when judgment takes place. I know I will see my brother again. And Jesus turns to her and Jesus says, I am resurrection and life. I know it will happen in the future. I believe in the judgment day, everybody says. I believe in the resurrection of the saint, everybody says. I believe in the kingdom to come, everybody's saying that. But the one that was life and resurrection was standing right in front of her. And she was wondering, when would that day come? What a beautiful story that John is trying to show us here. That sometimes we get so caught up in the world we live in, we get so caught up about the kingdom to come that we forget that Jesus already said, my kingdom is already upon you. We take resurrection as the day when everything is going to go back to God's original plan. And now John is introducing a different kind of resurrection here. He's telling you the here and the now. Jesus did not have to wait until the resurrection day. Jesus did not have to wait until the day of judgment to bring Lazarus back. He was life. He was resurrection. And he was there, present, at that very moment. And at this time, I would like to ask you, what kind of Christian are you? Are you the Christian that plans and lives for the day to come? Are you the Christian that waits for resurrection and transformation in that day to come? Or you are a Christian that believes that Jesus can perform a miracle in your life right here and right now? There are many stories in the Bible that we can read. The story of the rich man and Lazarus, there's incredible Bible text there that goes so well with what we're talking about it here. There are many other stories that we can find in the Gospel of John that has to do with life, death, darkness, resurrection, a new life. And I would like to share with you the passage from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look what it says there. Now, brothers and sisters, this is Paul now talking about resurrection, the day to come, judgment day. Look what Paul says. Brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, on which you have taken your stand. And I want you to come with me to verse 12 now. But if it is preached that Christ has not been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Verse 13, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. So Paul, when he talks about the day to come, the resurrection, judgment day, he's telling you that yes, if you do not believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, what are you doing as a Christian? This is one aspect of Paul. Is Paul talking about the kingdom to come, the resurrection to come, what Jesus has done for those that have already fallen asleep, judgment day? Now, I want to read with you another passage in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6, verse 8 through 14. Look how Paul is dealing with this topic again. Romans 6, 8 through 14. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. Verse 10. The death He died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Let's pause there for a second. Have you been brought from death to life yet? I want you to understand that what Paul is dealing with here and now is the fact that once you accept Christ, once you have given your life to Christ and you accept the sacrifice that He has performed in your life and that He has offered for you, eternal life begins. Your sins are forgiven, according to Paul, and you have been brought from death into life. Amen? Can you see here what I believe John is doing with the story of Lazarus? Many other gospel writers, they're talking about Jesus resurrecting the dead and all that kind of stuff. He's being compared to other prophets. Jesus has been doing amazing things among the people. But now we see that John is challenging you not to the kingdom to come, not to the judgment day to come, not even to the resurrection that we all believe will come one day, that we understand very little about it. I believe what Paul and John are saying here is, when you are in Christ Jesus, you are a new creature. You have gone from death into life. What a beautiful text. Because it's nice to see the story about Lazarus. It's beautiful to read the scriptures and encourage ourselves. How many times I use that in funerals? And we encourage ourselves and other people with these beautiful stories that Jesus is coming. We say words like 99.9% of all the scriptures have been fulfilled. And the only thing we're waiting for is the second coming of Jesus. And how come He is not going to come? Because everything that the Bible says about what was going to happen already happened. So we use those texts to comfort people and say, the kingdom will come. We use those texts to say, we will see each other again. We will resurrect again in that day when Christ comes. And John here is offering you and myself not only a story about Lazarus and his resurrection. John here is offering you a different view that not only Jesus could have resurrected Lazarus, but that today, here and now, your eternal life can start. Your sins can be forgiven, and you can be brought from death to life. Have you ever promised someone something and then you were not able to fulfill it, your word? Have you ever had to give up a dream for whatever reason because you already knew that that dream is not possible anymore to come true in your life? I'd like you to think about it for a second. If you were Lazarus, and if you put yourself in his place, when you have this sermon could easily be called Jesus, my best friend. And by the way, Ellen White says that through the life of Lazarus, this is what Ellen White says, through the life of Lazarus, she says that Jesus was able to perform the most powerful miracle ever recorded in scriptures. Hold that thought for a second. Through the life of Lazarus, Jesus was able to perform one of the most powerful miracles of his career here on earth. Hold that thought for a second. If you were Lazarus and you have this friend that has amazing powers to do whatever he wants, and you call for him because you're dying, how would you react if day after day after day after day after day he doesn't come? And now you are minutes, hours away from facing death. What thought would run through your mind if you were Lazarus? I don't want to put words in Lazarus' mouth, but if you were just a little bit like me, and if I had a friend with such power, I probably would say, forget this guy. I thought we were friends. I've seen him and I've heard him doing all these amazing things. And when I needed him the most, he didn't come through. Have you ever had a friend or a close friend or a best friend that when you really needed, he or she would not come through? I have that happen to me a few times. It's devastating, isn't that right? The person that could help you, the person that has the means, whatever it is that you need, that person does not come through. And you thought she was your best friend. If you were Lazarus contemplating this moment, how would you face your death? Like the mother of those students, she said, Pastor Gilbert, please resurrect my mother. I keep on thinking, wasn't it better for the mother to be resting? Wasn't it better for her to have faith and the assurance that her mother would be seen again in the resurrection day? And if you're like me, that you have already lost someone you love very much, you don't want to wait for that day. You even questioned that day. You want the person you love there at that time, at that moment. Have you had dreams that were taken away from you? Have you had dreams that for whatever reason you had to put them aside because for whatever reason you would not be able to fulfill them, not in this life? I imagine if Lazarus, before dying, if Lazarus was thinking, I could have accomplished this or that in my life. I wonder if Lazarus had another dream or two that he would like to fulfill in this life. And I wonder if Lazarus had to say goodbye to those dreams as he faced the moment of death. I also wonder what would happen when Lazarus is resurrected and the first person he sees is Jesus. It would be awesome to be around to hear that conversation. Would you be happy to see Jesus? Probably. I just want to close with this. I have had dreams taken away from me. Dreams that I have never been able to go back. Dreams that I know I'll never be able to fulfill. And if you're like me, you probably have said goodbye to a couple of dreams already in your lifetime. There's sometimes people that they can hurt you deeply by what they say. They can hurt you deeply by taking your dreams out of your life. I remember when I was just a 19-year-old boy, Jim, I told the pastor's wife of my congregation in South America, Brazil, I told her that the dream of my life was to become a pilot. And that woman, full of authority, she looked me in the eye and she said, that's not a profession for a Christian. Are there any pilots here? There's one in there. Somebody told my best friend the other day, he cannot be a Christian and a truck driver. And he left the church. Are there people that constantly will find ways to kill your dreams, to suffocate your dreams? Are there people that, exactly as in the same of Lazarus, are there people that the only thing they want is to push you inside of a cave and roll a big stone and then say, you stay there because you're dead? Are there people that want to kill your dreams and your aspiration in your life? Because if there are people like that, I have good news for you. I want you to think about that. I want you to put yourself in the place of Lazarus when he is there for 4 days. The light of the day is taken away from him. He's dead. Even Martha, the sister, said, he's probably smelling really bad right now. If your dreams have been tossed away, destroyed, if people are crushing you, let me tell you some good news here. The Lord Jesus might be telling you today, come out. Let me roll that stone away from you. Let me bring you to the light of the day again, and let me restore into your heart all the dreams of your life, because yes, I can do that. Some of you might be suffocated, buried. Some of you have not seen the light of the day, maybe like Lazarus, for 4 days, and you're spiritually dead. Your dreams might be taken away from you. The relationship you have with a loved one is deteriorating. And let me tell you, the Lord Jesus can resurrect your dreams. The Lord Jesus can resurrect you to life from death and even spiritual death. The Lord Jesus can resurrect your relationship, your relationships. Because the Bible says that when you believe in Christ, when you give his life to him, he will give you life. From death, he gives you life. And I just want to finish with this. When Ellen White says that Jesus was able to perform one of his most powerful miracles through the life of one of his close friends, maybe one of his best friends, at least the beloved follower that Lazarus was. When she says that Jesus could perform the most powerful miracle in his friend's life, I just would like to suggest to you, imagine the miracles that Jesus can perform through your life when you make him your best friend. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord today help you to hear his voice. Even when it's dark, even when it stinks, even when you're dead, even when all your dreams have been taken away from you, I pray that God will whisper in your ear again, come out. Come out. Come out. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this beautiful story of Lazarus. Thank you for the assurance that you give us about the second coming, the kingdom to come, eternal life, and judgment day, Lord. But also thank you so much for reminding us that when we are in Christ, when we confess our sins, when we are baptized in Jesus, we are taken from death into life. Thank you for offering us today, Lord Jesus, eternal life, starting here and now. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for offering us today resurrection here and now. And Lord Jesus, help us to draw closer and closer to you so you may perform amazing miracles in our lives as you performed in the life of your good friend Lazarus. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. God bless.